The voice of Branch County for high school sports. AM 1590 WTVB Coldwater and FM 95.5 W238 CD Coldwater.
Anthony Stevens, Carly Krasanski, and Student Council Governor Megan Scorfar. Anthony attends Kindergarten Academy at Lincoln Childhood Center and is a son of Carolyn, Yusuf, and Brian Stevens. Carly is a kindergarten at Max Larson Elementary School, is the daughter of Jessica and Jason Krasanski.
The homecoming ceremony here at Carter
Student Council, staff, and student body of Coldwater High School pleased to honor Mrs. Kim Nichols as our Grand Marshal for the 2013 homecoming celebration. Kim is married to Brad Nichols and has two stepsons, Mark and Tyler Nichols. She graduated from Coldwater High School in 1992 and received a Bachelor of Science degree from Western Michigan University in 1996. In 2003, she was awarded a Master of Science degree from Michigan State University. Kim began her teaching career at Coldwater High School in 1996. During the past 17 years, she's established herself as an excellent teacher both inside the classroom and beyond. Kim has also served as chair of the science department for the past 8 years, during which she's dedicated herself to improving the curriculum, culture, and student achievement at CHS. Kim values her role as a leader in the department and encourages the science teachers to try innovative methods while setting high standards for their students. She knows that creating the brightest future for students means to expose them to great challenges today, and she's an inspiration to all teachers to bring this belief into daily practice. In her work as department chair and a teacher, Kim is most notable for her ability to bring heart into her efforts to improve the quality not only for her classroom, but the quality of every facet of CHS. In her heart, education begins from the perspective of the student and builds from there. Because of this, whether discussing broad building policies or designing classroom lessons, she's always the best advocate the students of CHS can possibly have when it comes to the excellence of their education. Outside the classroom, Kim has served CHS as the gymnastics coach for 9 years, as an assistant track coach for 10 years. During her tenure as gymnastics coach, she's taken 14 girls to the state finals and the team to 8 regional meets. Last season, Kim had the opportunity to work with an amazing group of young gymnasts. She was able to coach one athlete all the way to a national competition. In addition, Kim has served as an MHSAA gymnastics official for 11 years. She's passionate for her sport and enthusiastically encourages her young gymnasts to elevate their skills. In addition to her teaching and coaching successes, Kim has served as the Coldwater Schools as Vice President of the Coldwater Education Association for 2 years and frequently as a class advisor. She's also been the very enthusiastic and often unforgettable field announcer for the soccer and Potter Pump football games during homecoming week. Because of her excellence in the classroom and her dedication to Coldwater High School, on behalf of the entire student body and faculty, both present and retired, Student Council Governor Megan Scorfar will now present Kim Nichols with a special tribute as a small token of our appreciation. Mrs. Nichols, thank you. Following Mrs. Nichols are reigning 2012 Homecoming King Kelvin Miller and Queen Morgan Miller. Kelvin is currently attending Glen Oaks Community College, where he's studying business degree and playing baseball. Morgan is attending Hope College, where she's studying biology and is planning on entering the health field. And now the introductions of our 2013 Homecoming Courts. The first freshman couple is Jenna Beckhusen and Eric Bach. Jenna is the daughter of Neil and Aaron Beckhusen. Eric is the son of Lynn and David Bach. The second freshman couple is Megan Lippert and Sam DeMeester. Megan is the daughter of Carrie Lippert and Brandon Timmons. Sam is the son of Sharon and Mark DeMeester. The first sophomore couple is Maggie Poole and Dylan Doty. Maggie is the daughter of Amy and Patrick Poole. Dylan is the son of Corey and Jenny Doty and Jessica Handley. The second sophomore couple is Allie Van Stone and Kevin Rodriguez. Allie is the daughter of Pam and Les Van Stone. Kevin is the son of Ramon Rodriguez and Patty Vargas. The first junior couple is Natalie Borden and Zach DeMeester. Natalie is the daughter of Jim and Nancy Borden. Zach is the son of Sharon and Mark DeMeester. The second junior couple is Carissa Harrell and Logan Tigert. Krissa is the daughter of Lisa and Greg Harrell. Logan is the son of Doug and Jenny Taggart. And now we have the pleasure of introducing our senior candidates from whom they've been crowned the 2013 Homecoming King and Queen. The first senior couple is Morgan Klein and Brady Duke. Morgan is the daughter of Ken and Julie Klein. She's a varsity volleyball captain and a varsity soccer player. She's an officer of National Honor Society and the vice president of the Interact Club. She also participates in student council and has been the class of 2014's vice president for 3 years. Morgan plans to attend college to get a degree in the medical field, then attend PA school to become a physician's assistant. Brady is a son of Tom and Jill Duke. He's both a varsity basketball and baseball player, also a member of Interact Club and National Honor Society. He's proud to be a fifth grade graduate of St. Charles Borromeo Elementary School as well. Brady has traveled to every football game this year as a statistician for the freshman, JV, and varsity football teams. After high school, Brady plans to attain a four-year degree in business with concentration on entrepreneurship and minor in math or statistics. The second senior couple is Sierra Neal and Benjamin David Hicks. Sierra is the daughter of Jim and Diane Neal. She's a member of the Interact Club and delegate for our school and the Michigan Youth in Government. She's also active in student council and is a senior class secretary. Sierra plans to help others spirited by leading the varsity cheering squad. Sierra plans to attend Oakland University to center pre-med and is planning on pursuing a career in trauma care. Ben is the son of Donald Hicks and Kelly Stroud. He's a member of the varsity tennis team, also the vice president of the National Honor Society and secretary of Interact. Ben has also participated in Balladeers for 4 years and enjoys participating in the school musicals. After high school, Ben plans to attend college and partake in college musicals. Ben says that no matter what college he goes to, he wants to remain an active leader of his class. The third senior couple is Katie Ness and Joshua Norton. Katie is the daughter of Kim and Tom Ness. She's been the class president for the past 3 years. She's also been an active member of student council for 2 years. Katie is an Interact officer and loves participating in Big Brothers Big Sisters. Katie is also a member of the Coldwater Varsity softball team. After high school, Katie plans to attend Central Michigan University to study medicine and become a physician's assistant specializing in orthopedics. Joshua is the son of Steve and Sherry Norton. Josh loves to run. He's been a member of the varsity cross-country team for 3 years and varsity track for 2 years. Josh plans to go to college to major in art, illustration, and minor in history. He also plans on running competitively in college. The fourth senior couple, Kayla Spurbeck and Tristan Oberlin. Kayla is the daughter of Tom and Missy Spurbeck. She loves to compete with the CHS gymnastics team. She's also a member of Interact Club and National Honor Society. Kayla is also the treasurer of the class of 2014. Kayla enjoys volunteering her time at the Kids' Place at the Branch District Library. After high school, Kayla would like to go on to obtain a doctorate of psychology. Tristan is the son of Teresa and Larry Oberlin. Tristan loves to participate in the Coldwater High School band and is a former member of student council. Tristan hopes to become a software developer and attend either Western Michigan University or Albion College. The final senior couple is Anna Wendorf and Justin Potthoff. Anna is the daughter of Samantha and David Wendorf. Anna is the captain of the CHS golf team. She's also a member of the National Honor Society, Interact, and Band. She hopes to attend University of Michigan and ultimately go on to medical school and specialize in radiology. Justin is the son of Greg Potthoff and Shelley Perkins. He's a member of both cross-country and track and field teams. He's a member of Interact and Student Council, also serves as a class council officer. Justin plans to attend the University of Michigan to pursue a degree in orthodontia. Let's give a big round of applause to all of our candidates. Now this week, the classes have been competing to raise funds for the Branch Area Food Pantry, and the final results are in. In fourth place, raising $45.16, the juniors. In third place with $52.48, the freshmen. In second place with $93.07, the sophomores. And in first place with $294.38, the seniors. for a grand total of $485.09. Great job, CHS. This week, the classes have been competing to determine which is the most spirited. The final contest included the floats displayed tonight. The final float results are, in fourth place, the freshmen. In third place, the sophomores. In second place, the juniors. And in first place, the seniors. In the most spirited class competition, the results are as follows. In fourth place with 92 points, the freshman class. In third place with 101 points, the junior class. In second place with 109 points, the sophomore class. And this year's most spirited class with 133 points, the senior class. Congratulations. Well, for the past 2 weeks, the student body has gone through a selection process to determine this year's most spirited classmates. And before you tonight are some of the finest CHS has produced. But now the voting is complete. 2012 King Kelvin Miller, assisted by Anthony Stevens, will crown our 2013 homecoming king, Tristan Oberlin. In 2012, Queen Morgan Miller, assisted by Carly Krasinski, will now crown our 2013 homecoming queen, Katie Ness. Congratulations again to Katie and Tristan. The Student Council would like to extend its appreciation to the many businesses and people who made this year's homecoming a success. Special thank you to Keese Jewelry, who donated the Queen's Tiara this year, and to Michigan Graphic Arts, who donated the sashes for the court members. The staff and administration of CHS, we'd like to say thank you for your patience this week. And the student body, thank you for your spirit and enthusiasm. Thank you all for attending Homecoming 2013. We'd like to extend a special welcome home to all CHS alumni, especially those celebrating their class reunions with us tonight. We hope you have a great time. As you return for Homecoming 2014 next year, go Cardinals!
So congratulations to King Tristan Oberlin and Queen Katie Ness. And how about that, a four-peat for the class of 2014 winning Homecoming, Al?
That's pretty neat stuff, Sean. Obviously, that class has shown a lot of spirit throughout their high school career, and as you mentioned, the four-peat for them. So congratulations to the senior class. And again, special congratulations to Katie Ness, and Tristan Oberman.
We'll go ahead and take this two-minute break and bring you second-half action after this. 19-7, Coldwater on top of Sturgis, but the Trojans will get the ball to start the second half. You're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
Change is in the air. Glenn here from Warner Oil Company. While we're not sure what the weather has in store, one thing is for sure. The calendar says fall is coming, and I'm here to remind you that Warner Oil is stocked and ready with antifreeze, washer fluid, engine oil, and quality Chevron lubricants to get your fall engine service completed. Don't wait. Now is the best time to purchase these supplies. Over the past 80 years, Warner Oil Company has been supplying your fuel and lubricant needs. Whether to take the chill out of your home or filling your fuel tanks with farm gas and diesel fuel, Warner Oil has been there to meet your needs. Our fuel drivers have years and years of experience. They understand that you are busy and you need them to keep your tanks full. Ask them about our premium grade diesel fuel or 20% renewable. You can call Warner Oil Company today at 517-278-5844. Or stop by to see us Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 400 Ray Street here in Coldwater.
Life presents different challenges for each of us. Some people are experiencing stress due to their jobs, while others are experiencing the stress of losing their jobs. Bills, budgets, and making ends meet can lead to anxiety, depression, family issues, marital problems, substance abuse, and thoughts of suicide. While everyone is affected in different ways, one thing remains the same. You're not alone. In fact, help is always just a phone call away, 24 hours a day, at Pines Behavioral Health in Coldwater. Getting help is as easy as picking up the phone and dialing 279-8404. 279-8404. So when you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, turn to Pines Behavioral Health on Michigan Avenue just off US 12 in Coldwater. There when you need someone. At Pines Behavioral Health, they believe life should be enjoyed, not endured.
AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
Welcome back to Cardinal Field. Sean Watson and Al Rackesy, Mike Seitz. Second half about to get underway with the Coldwater Cardinals leading the Sturgis Trojans 19-7. Going over some of the quick stats, Coldwater had 13 first downs and Sturgis with 7. 34 runs for the Cardinals, a total of 189 yards compared to just 9 for the Trojans and 51 yards. The Trojans had the edge in yards from the air, 113 to 80. So total yardage, the Cardinals on top of Sturgis, 269 yards to 164. And individually, Chance Stewart has been your leading rusher for Sturgis, 2 carries for 21 yards. Matt Phillips, 4 carries for 15 yards. And J.D. Bowdish, 3 carries for 15 yards. For the Cardinals, Cooper Murphy, 17 carries, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chris Vandenhout, 6 carries for 63 yards. Bryant Garrett, 7 for 33. And Luke Beckhusen, 4 for 11. Passing, Chance Stewart, 4 of 11, 113 yards and a touchdown. Luke Beckhusen, 4 of 5, passing, 80 yards and a touchdown. Luke Stempien, 2 catches for 43 yards and a score for the Cardinals. And Jack Shesky, 2 catches for 95 yards and a score. He had some confusion on the floor because we were going to go the wrong way. You get the second half underway. Sturgis will get the ball. Going from left to right, north to south across your radio dial, and the Cardinals from right to left, south to north.
Well, the Cardinals will be kicking off to the Trojans, Sean, and going to get this second half football started in what is the end of a long tradition here at Coldwater and Sturgis of these two teams playing football since 1916. Cardinals on top right now, 19-7.
Here comes Blaze Watson's kickoff. It's not going to boom it into the end zone.
Uh-oh.
I guess he did. It's a live ball that is downed in the end zone. Went through the hands of J.D. Bowdish.
High end over end kick from Blaze Watson. And got a little air under it. It drove Bowdish back. He misjudged the direction on that a little bit.
Fortunately, there is nobody in a metallic red uniform nearby, or that could have been interesting.
Absolutely.
Nice, but as it is, the Trojans will start the second half, first and 10 from their 20. Scoring summary, the Cardinals had the ball first, and they scored on a 12-play, 74-yard drive, taking 6:22. 2-yard Cooper Murphy quarterback keeper out of the Wildcat. Blaze Watson's PAT kick was good, making it 7-0. That was your score after one quarter, 7-0. We'll continue the scoring summary after this first and 10 play. Chance Stewart will take the snap out of the shotgun. Is that Phillips or Bowdish next to him?
I believe it's Bowdish.
Now some movement among the receivers. 2 to the left, 2 to the right. And the flag is thrown just as the Sturgis Trojans started to run the play.
Going against Sturgis again, I believe.
Encroachment against the orange and black.
I'm sorry, offside Sturgis.
Oh, the second Coldwater score came with 3:37 left to play in the first half. 1 yard keeper by Cooper Murphy capping off a 9-play, 66-yard drive that took 4:22. The PAT kick by Blaze Watson was no good. Trojans got it back, a 6-play, 80-yard drive that took just 1:13. The scoring play was it's credited as a 66-yard touchdown pass from Chance Stewart to Jack Shesky. Jack Kaywood's PAT kick making it good with 2:24 left in the first half, 13-7. I don't understand this play where the wide receivers are exchanging places before Stewart takes the snap. The give is to Bowdish. He wound up running the left side of the line and got it to about the 17-yard line. Oh, a gain of 3. That'll bring up 2nd and 13. Final score of the half came with around 15 seconds left to play in it. More specifically, 15.4 seconds. It was a 20-yard pass credited from Beck Husen to Stempien. The two-point conversion failed, 19-7. A 7-play, 62-yard drive taking 2:09, and that's where things stand right now. On 2nd and 13, Stewart is pushed out of the pocket.
And a big hit laid on him by Sean Renke, the senior, 6 foot, 212 pounds.
You don't think he's pumped, or for that matter, any member of the Renke family is pumped?
Oh, I think everybody in this crowd, at least on the Coldwater side right now, is pumped.
There's still Sturgis fans continuing to filter their way into the stadium, I see, on the opposite end of the field.
Yeah, bleachers on the other side are almost full. It's people standing on both sides of the bleacher area. So
nice to see all the fans stick around for this historic meeting between the Cardinals and the Trojans. 3rd and 12, we'll see trips to the right side. Stewart, three-step drop back. He's flushed out of the pocket. Here comes trouble. He breaks out of that bit of trouble. Now rolling to the left. Scrambling. And the pass is a little bit short to the intended receiver near midfield. I think he was looking for Oakley Stevens.
Yeah, sure was. You can tell that Chance Stewart in particular is missing Calvin Bowdish tonight. No question about that.
Again, he was held out of tonight's game, coaching decision by head coach Jimmy Land because of tweaking the ankle injury. You don't want it to get any worse as we hit the second half of their season, and a chance at a playoff spot still a possibility for the Sturgis Trojans.
Stewart back to punt.
High spiral punt. Ryan Garrett and Luke Stempien lets it bounce at the 45-yard line. It is down into Trojan territory at the 47. It took a very favorable Coldwater bounce.
Very nice bounce for the Cardinals. Going to have great field position to start their first drive of the second half.
Come on, let's go! 38-yard line. First and 10, Coldwater.
The first and 10 for Coldwater from the 47-yard line of Sturgis.
Now take a quick look at penalty yardage. The Trojans in the first half had 3 for 20 yards, 2 for 10 yards for Coldwater. It seems as though the penalties have hit the Trojans more than they've hurt the Cardinals.
Yeah, they've come at some inopportune times for Sturgis.
That too. Luke Beck Husen under center, first and 10 from the Sturgis 48. 19-7 Cardinals, and here's Beck Husen with a design keeper down to the 40. Great gain on first down. The ball will actually be spotted at the 41.
Gain of about 7 yards for
second down.
Beck Husen.
Beck Husen, a 5'9", 153-pound sophomore. It'll be fun to see this kid develop over the next couple of years, provided he doesn't get hurt.
Oh, yeah. Second and 3 for Coldwater.
Ball is on the Sturgis 41-yard line. Beck Husen again under center. Single receivers to either side. Split house formation, we'll call it. And it's Bryant Garrett trying to fight forward. I think he may have lost a yard. He's very lucky to have lost just that 1 yard, actually.
Sure didn't pick up much, that's for sure.
That brings up 3rd and about 4. First down marker is at the 38. The ball spotted at the 42. Just underway here in the second half. 9:15 and counting left in the third quarter. It is Coldwater 19 and Sturgis 7. Something that we haven't really talked about that much the last 3 years of the Sturgis-Coldwater rivalry. Beck Husen gives the ball. Cooper Murphy finds a few seams, but he's popped at the 41-yard line by Sturgis's Colda Hayes. Defenses are standing pretty stout to start off the second half.
The intensity's picking up a little bit here, too, Sean. Big hit by Coldwater on Chance Stewart. A big hit there on by DeHaze for Sturgis.
Well, Colin Warwick will go back to punt for the first time. Jack Keywood standing at about the 11-12 yard line to receive the punt, and it's a very high punt. Colin Warwick, very good job grabbing it, and a very good punt, all things considered. It bounces at the 20, and the Cardinals are going to down it at the 7-yard line.
Good job by Colin Warwick. The snap was not good, and he had a heavy rush put on him, but he very patiently got that kick off and got a nice favorable bounce. Pinned Sturgis down at the, looks like the 12-yard line.
A real quick announcement.
Checking out some scores on the WTVB scoreboard at the half. St. Joe is leading Miles 34-7.
We'd also like to welcome back the class, Coldwater High School class of 68.
Edwardsburg leading Three Rivers in the Wolverine Conference 22-15.
Pretty good game there. Two teams pretty close in locale. So a little bit of a battle going on there.
First and 10, Sturgis from their 7-yard line. Stewart out of the shotgun. The handoff went to Bowdish, J.D. Bowdish.
He loses a little, I think, Sean.
He's brought down at the 5, a loss of 2 on the play.
Good job by the Cardinal defense.
Well, we can mention Sean Rinke's name once again.
Loss on the play, second down.
Lots of possibilities when it comes to naming a player of the game at the end of the night, which we will do for McDonald's and Branch and Hillsdale counties. Second and 12, 7:47 left in the third quarter, 19-7 Coldwater over Sturgis. Chance Stewart is standing in the end zone to take the shotgun snap. Stewart looking, he's flushed out of the pocket. Are they going to bring him down? No, he's going to get the ball away. He actually did have an intended receiver at the 13-yard line. He was down on his knees and it short-armed him to boot.
Now, he's doing a really good job of just getting rid of the football tonight.
Something that Luke Beckhusen can actually learn from.
The Coldwater defender was all over the Sturgis receiver on that play, and Chance had no other option but to get rid of it and make sure it wasn't catchable or potentially intercepted by Coldwater.
Still going to bring up third and 12. If the Cardinal defense can hold, the offense should get the ball with good field position. 9 on the play clock. Stewart taking the snap. He's got plenty of time. And the ball was almost intercepted. It is intercepted. How about that?
Luke Stempion coming up with the interception for Coldwater. Ripped it right out of the Sturgis receiver's hands.
Oh, the Cardinal, well, they did get the ball in good field position. Didn't think it was going to be coming off of a pick of Chance Stewart, but the Cardinals will gladly take it. First and 10 from the Sturgis 23. Already up 19-7.
This would be huge if the Cardinals can push this one in. Push it down the field and get another touchdown. Hadley to the right, Stempion to the left.
Beckhusen is under center. It's going to be a design keeper to the 10. Spin move, stood up at the 13.
Now, Sturgis has not had an answer for that play all night long. Cardinals have had great success with that little keeper. Beckhusen does a little pirouette in the backfield as he's coming away from the center. And they're expecting a handoff on the Sturgis side of the ball, and he's just not doing it. He's keeping it, rolling around whichever way he does his little turn.
We continue to check the WTVB scoreboard at the half. Lakeshore leading Mattawan 28-0 out at Stevensville. At the half, Lakeview leading Go Lake. Lakeview has 21 up on the board. Guess how many Go Lake has right now?
Zero.
You got it. Flag on the play before the ball could be snapped, and illegal procedure against Coldwater will bring up second and about 6.
Not what you were looking for down there for the Cardinals, but
near the end of the first half, the two future Interstate 8 foes loom and Christie all over Jackson Northwest 41-0.
Second and 6 for the Cardinals, ball on the 19. Beck Hughes it under center. Keeps it, rolls around to the left, and
down to the 17.
Down.
Well, that's going to bring up third and four. How about the Cardinal Crazies to our right? They're telling the Sturgis fan base, we can't hear you. It's interesting, the Coldwater High School Athletic Department trophy case has the original silver football, and it might well end up with the new silver football, or at least a good long time here. Beck Husen going back to pass. Has Beck Stempien open at the 10 down to the 9-yard line. First and goal. Getting my Luke's confused here.
Doing it again.
Another completed pass to Luke Beck Husen. Excuse me, to Luke Stempien from Luke Beck Husen.
We're both gullible to confusing our Lukes here. 5:37 and counting left to play in the third quarter. The Cardinals want to add on to that 19-7 lead.
First and goal from the 9-4 Coldwater.
Beck Husen under center. The give is to Brian Garrett. He's running the sweep right side to the 10, trying to cut open, and he's brought down at about the 8. He ran about 15 to get those 2 yards, if that.
Good job by Sturgis, stringing the play out, not allowing Garrett to get around the right in.
Well, we have a chance, another chance to tip our hats to this year's homecoming king and queen, Tristan Oberlin and Katie Ness. Two great, great kids.
Yeah,
actually, I've known Katie since she was at least 7th or 8th grade.
All of those kids that were on the court, very deserving of their honors tonight. And they're the leaders of their classes for the most part. The kids really look up to them.
Second goal from the 7. Here's Vannon out to the 5. Touchdown. End zone! Touchdown, Coldwater!
Vannon out with a run around the right side and able to scamper into the end zone relatively untouched. So Chris Vanden out. I believe that's his first touchdown of the year, Sean.
Without taking a look at the season stats, I think you may be right, because it's been primarily Cooper Murphy and Brian Garrett with the bulk of the running duties.
What a nice night to get it on, playing against your arch rival in a game that means a whole bunch to both of these schools tonight. Right now the Cardinals having their way with Sturgis.
Currently 25-7, 4:37 left in the third quarter. Cardinals are going to go for two and snap the ball out of the Wildcat. Goes to Cooper Murphy. This time he's in the end zone for the two-point conversion.
27-7 now in favor of Coldwater.
4:37 left to play in the third quarter. Back in 30 seconds, you're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
You're a super fan who will tailgate anywhere. The pros? Check. College? Check. Your 8-year-old's peewee game. Big time. And to prepare for this ritual, you head to Meijer for freshly prepared food and licensed team apparel. Proudly display allegiance to your favorite team with our licensed short and long sleeve tees, hoodies, hats, and jerseys. Plus, load up on fresh meats, snacks, and drinks. So don't just tailgate. Tail greater at Meijer. AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
This game has been a whole lot of fun, and it's been at least 3 years in the making, Al.
Yeah, definitely has. No question about that, Sean.
20-point lead right now for the Cardinals, 27-7. The last scoring drive was a pretty short scoring drive. It was capped off by a 7-yard Chris Vandenhout touchdown run, his first of the season. And after Blaze Watson's PAT kick, the Cardinals lead by 20.
Well, when you get it in field position like that, you need to take advantage of it, and the Cardinals were able to do that. They tacked on another TD and a two-point conversion. It's 27-7 Coldwater.
Blaze Watson angling it deep into the end zone. It is caught, and no attempt at the run back. That's the new high school rule. It's actually been in place for a couple of years. It'll be a touchback. First and 10, Sturgis from their 20-yard line.
So the Cardinal defense is going to go to work right now. They've been doing an excellent job tonight of holding in this Sturgis offense.
We celebrate the past and look forward to the future. Checking out the WTVB scoreboard. Mason leading Charlotte now 16-8. Charlotte will be one of the new members in the Interstate 8 Athletic Conference next year.
You know, you and I talked with Coach Matt Bowling, the Harper Creek basketball coach, about our kids needing to learn how to win. And, hopefully they're turning the corner here tonight.
Hand off goes to J.D. Bowdish, and he's got a brought down behind the line of scrimmage.
Justin Siegel with the big tackle for Coldwater.
Loss on the play, second down.
That'd be second and about 13 now for Sturgis.
4:15 and counting left to play in the third quarter. Trojans break the huddle with 15 on the play clock. They're not getting up to the ball here with any sort of urgency. It's almost as if their daubers are down a little bit to break out some language that Doug Johnson used to use. Out of the I formation, Chance Stewart flushed out of the pocket, looking to the right.
Oh, great defense by Stempien. Great defense by Luke Stempien.
Had a receiver open about the 25-yard line, but Stempien broke it up.
Luke getting his hand in there and ripping the ball away from the Sturgis defender, and it falls to the ground harmlessly.
Third and 12 coming up. 3:47 clock stopped on the incompletion. Gotta love the Cardinal Crazies really getting into it.
I'll tell you what, I don't think there's any fans that have left here, Sean.
This is tremendous, tremendous. Out of the shotgun. Stewart, three-step drop back, going up the middle, and it was almost intercepted by the Cardinals, and we're going to get flags on the play. Liam Adams, well-defended, but perhaps a little bit too well-defended.
Yeah, Ryan Hadley definitely committed interference on that play. We could have called that. Could have thrown our flag from up here for the most part.
It's a good thing we don't have a mic directly on the Cardinal Crazy student section. We would have had to invest money in a seven-second delay, other word. Maybe not the crazy so much, but some of the alumni coming back.
Yeah, wasn't listening to it, so focusing on what's going on in the field here.
What's going on the field is a 15-yard mark off on the pass interference. Ball's at the 32-yard line, enough to give the Trojans a first down.
That's their only first down of this third quarter.
At least so far.
Out there was one. I think Stewart had a run earlier.
Stewart on first and 10. Three-step drop back out of the shotgun. Overthrew the intended receiver, Jack Kingwood, at the Goldwater 45. He was double-covered to boot.
Chance Stewart's passes are right. You know, they're tight spirals. They're hard thrown. They get to the receivers in a hurry. He doesn't throw up a wounded duck up there at all.
Checking out the WTVB scoreboard once again from the Smack West. St. Joe now leading Niles 41-7. The Vikings were intercepted, and it was run back for a pick six. That's going to be a happy homecoming in St. Joe. Hopefully, it'll be a happy homecoming here in Coldwater as well. Second and 10, the handoff. Going right side of the line, the sweep to J.D. Bowdish, and he's tackled at the 34-yard line. Randy Brown, along with Sean Rinke.
Slowed up by Austin Siegel, not letting him get around the corner.
Only a 2-yard gain there for the younger of the Bowdish brothers. Third and 8 coming up with 3:13 and counting left to play in quarter number 3. -27 for the Cardinals and just 7 for the Trojans. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Stewart out of the shotgun. J.D. Bowdish next to him. I wonder if Matt Phillips had gotten hurt on the offensive side of the ball.
Could be.
Three-step drop back, and it's caught at the 41-yard line. He's into Cardinal territory. Forced out of bounds. He'll be forced out of bounds at about the 48-yard line. That was Liam Adams with a catch.
Yeah, this game isn't out of reach yet for Sturgis by any means. When you've got a quarterback of the caliber that they do, they still have an opportunity. It's up to the Coldwater defense now to stick in there.
And their official timeout for injury, there is actually a Coldwater player down. Near midfield, actually, at about the 47-yard line. Quickly, Phil Herman out there assessing things along with the Coldwater coaching staff. You don't see a number yet, do you?
Nope, not at all.
The clock is stopped right now. 2:42 left to play in the third quarter. 27-7. The Trojans of Sturgis down 20 to the Coldwater Cardinals. see if our correspondent out in Quincy has posted a scoring update from the Quincy homecoming game. Quincy was hosting the Athens Indians.
We have an update from Union City, 39-14, Springport on top with 6:29 to go in the third quarter. Your player out on the field is Chris Vandenhout.
Taken up a little bit, he gets up and walks off under his own power. Still don't have a halftime score yet from Quincy Athens. Last score we had was 14-0 Orioles on top of the Indians. Hoping that our correspondent out there, Angie Newsbaum, will send us an update.
Come on, get back, Chris got a little stinger on that right arm of his. No obvious limp or anything coming off the field.
Now the Trojans going up to the ball following the official timeout for injury. First and 10. Trojans from the Coldwater 48-yard line. Wonder what this official timeout is all about.
Don't know.
For reasons known only to the men in stripes, play is being held up.
Now we're ready to go. 2:42 to go. The Cardinals up 27-7. 2:42 to go in the third quarter.
Chance Stewart out of the shotgun. Two receivers on either side of the line. Three-step drop back. He's flushed out of the pocket. Almost sacked. He keeps the ball himself and will run out of bounds at about the 46-yard line.
Cardinals have really put a lot of pressure on Chance Stewart, especially here in the second
the
46 half.
46-yard line.
Well, when the Cardinals have had the ball and the Trojans ran the blitz patterns on them, the Cardinals did an excellent job picking those up.
Yes, they did.
We'll give Chance Stewart about a 3 yard, 2 or 3 yard gain on the play. Second and 8, the ball will be at the 46-yard line. Stewart will be under center. Seven-step drop back. He's flushed out of the pocket again. Broke away, and he'll just throw the ball out of bounds, and flag is thrown. I bet you Stewart is going to be flagged with an intentional grounding call.
We were both
thinking about the same line of play.
Nobody around there for that one.
Closest guy was wearing a Cardinal jersey, and he was on the sideline, that being Cody Truex.
Wearing a jersey or wearing a coach's polo down there.
Intentional grounding.
Intentional grounding.
Loss of down. That's going to bring up third and what is it, a 10-yard mark off or a 15 on intentional grounding? We haven't seen one of those in a while.
That's sure, Sean.
Put the ball down at the 35-yard line.
Loss of down, third down. Ball at the 35-yard line.
They have to get the ball to the Coldwater 38. To get a first down, we'll say third and 27.
Well, they're capable of doing it, but...
We saw that late in the first half.
Without Kelvin Bowdish, though, it makes it a little more difficult for the Trojans. Three receivers to the left, one to the right.
Chance Stewart. Here comes pressure from Sean Ranky. Breaks away from that. And a shovel catch at the 39-yard line. That was a desperation catch by J.D. Bowdish. He was the only guy there for the Trojans. Still going to be fourth and long. They'll have to punt the ball away.
Yeah, he didn't catch that either. He did drop the ball. But good heads-up play by Stewart. Got rid of it. He was in the arms of a Coldwater defender. And able to get it out of there instead of taking a loss.
And at least there was somebody wearing a white jersey in the vicinity, too.
Fourth and 27 now from the 35 for Sturgis. Garrett and Stempien back for the Cardinals to receive the punt.
Flag is thrown as Stewart receives a snap. Low line drive kick. Cardinals get away from it. The Trojans will down it at the 20. We'll see what the flag is back at the point of the snap. Referee talking to Zach DeMeester, one of the captains. The Trojans are going to have to re-punt the ball, it looks like. No official indication. It was a false start against the Sturgis Trojans, so a 5-yard mark off.
Well, Sturgis got a pretty good roll on that punt, so Coach Jeff Scorefire elects to take the penalty and have Sturgis kick it over again.
The ball put down at the 30-yard line. Again, Luke Stempien and Bryant Garrett back to receive the ball. They're both covering around their 40-yard line. Snap. Gets it off. Wobbly end over end kick. They get a better bounce on it this time. Luke Stempien picks up at the 15, and he's going to be spilled right there. He might have been better served just letting the ball go. Late flag. Late flag.
Might go against Coldwater. Saw that come in at the end of a play there. There's only one Cardinal standing around.
The clock has stopped with a minute 57 left in the third quarter, 27-7. Coldwater on top of Sturgis, homecoming night 2013. Still have not received an official word from the referee.
Looks like it is going to go against Coldwater, though.
They're huddled near the goal line.
Block
in the back called against Coldwater. That happened very late in the play.
Half the distance to the goal, I believe.
Ball's going to be at the 8-yard line. First and 10 for the Cardinals. They break out of the huddle. Luke Stempien wide out to the left side. Ryan Hadley to the right.
What a death.
Flag thrown just as Stempien received the snap.
Illegal motion again on the Cardinals.
Half the distance to the goal would put it at the 4-yard line. First and 14.
Now, the one thing you don't want to do here, Sean, number one, you got to quit making penalties, but you definitely don't want to turn the ball over down here right now.
First and 14 from the 4-yard line.
First and 14, the ball is on the 4-yard line for Coldwater.
Some confusion as the Cardinals are going up to the ball. Now Beck Hughes in under center receives the snap. Actually, that's Cooper Murphy as the Cardinals went wildcat. Brings the ball up to about the 9-yard line. Past the original line of scrimmage, we'll say it's at the line of scrimmage now. Second and about 9.5, we'll say. At least they got out of a little bit of the shadow of their own end zone.
Yeah, still got to be careful with the football. Got to take care of it right now.
Snap goes to Cooper Murphy, left side of the line. He stood up at the 17-yard line.
Very close to the first down mark. Great effort by
Cooper. They will give him
Cooper
the first
Murphy.
Down. They will give him the first down.
That's another Coldwater first down.
So we do have, finally, from our correspondent, Angie Newsbaum out in Quincy, a third quarter score, end of the third quarter of the Quincy Athens game. Orioles 44, Indians nothing.
Well, Indians march along and they will be at 3-2 now on the season.
You mean the Orioles will? The
Orioles, I'm sorry.
I think the Indians will still be looking for their first win.
Yep.
Murphy, the ball carrier.
Cooper Murphy strung along and forced out of bounds left sideline at about the 23. Clock stopped with 52 seconds exactly left in the third quarter. 20-point lead for the Cardinals, 27-7.
Second down, ball.
Well, the Cardinals able to move the football out of the shadow of their end zone, like you said earlier, Sean, and they now have it on the 23-yard line of their own. Second and 6. And then the Wildcat.
Cooper Murphy receives the snap to the 25. Spin move at the 30. Forced out of bounds. Pass there at about the 31. They'll mark the ball.
First down, Cardinals.
Checking out some more scores from the West Coast on the WTVB scoreboard. St. Joe now leading Niles 48-7. And how about this stat from the Lakeshore-Mattawan game? Lakeshore, 424 yards rushing, breaking a school record for rushing yards in a game that was set about 21 years ago. Beat that by 20.
Wow.
And they're still...
still playing.
Still playing. They still got the fourth quarter to run. On the reverse, here's Luke Beckhusen, right side of line to the 40.
Another Coldwater first down.
Beckhusen. The Cardinal running game is just having their way with the Sturgis defense.
Beckhusen with a scamper around the right end on the reverse. Picks up about 12 yards.
In the Wolverine Conference, after three quarters, Dowagiak is leading Coloma 22-16.
Dowagiak with a pretty good football team this year.
46-yard line.
At the end of the third quarter, Mason and Charlotte. Remember, the Charlotte Orioles will be in the Interstate 8 next year along with Coldwater. Tied at 16s at the end of three.
Well, Mason wanted in on that a little bit, too. They were kind of wishy-washy about it, Sean, and they ended up being on the outside looking in.
Oh, well, too bad, so sad. All of the Wildcat.
Give up the middle.
Kind of a slow developing play. Who had the ball?
Scott Sowers, the way it looked to me.
The ball is going to be spotted in Trojan territory at the 45 yard line as the clock expires here in the third quarter. The Cardinal drives will continue. Second and one from the Sturgis 45. After this, 27-7, Coldwater on top of Sturgis. Back in a minute, you're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
OmniSource in Coldwater is now accepting commercial scrap metals and paying businesses premium rates for your materials. Whether it's a dump truck or a 90-yard bin, OmniSource has a large capacity scale to handle your biggest loads of scrap. Transport it yourself, or OmniSource will deliver a bin to you to fill and then haul your scrap away. Save money on gas and freight fees by bringing your ferrous and non-ferrous metals to OmniSource in Coldwater. Servicing all area businesses, including machine and auto repair shops, manufacturers, plumbers, electricians, heating and cooling companies, construction, agriculture, and welding businesses.
This is Renee from OmniSource in Coldwater. We're now paying businesses for your ferrous and non-ferrous scrap materials. Call us for premium rates for your scrap, or just bring it on over to us at 375 South Michigan Avenue by the I-69 overpass. Weekdays from 8 to 4, Saturdays from 8 to noon, or visit us anytime online at omnisource.com. OmniSource, the best in metals recycling.
The voice of Branch County for high school sports. AM 1590 WTVB Coldwater and FM 95.5 W238 CD Coldwater.
First play of the fourth quarter. The snap goes to Cooper Murphy. He dives forward to the 40-yard line. That's going to be enough to get the Cardinals another first drive, first down. And the drive stays alive. They currently lead 27-7. And we'll look at hands off Adams Moore.
Cardinals continuing to churn it out on the ground against the Sturgis Trojans. They've been pretty successful tonight with the pass, the few times that they've attempted it as well. So Cardinal offense... hitting on all cylinders right here tonight.
Out of the Wildcat. First and 10 from the 40. Brant Garrett receives a snap this time. Puts his head down to the 35.
What an offensive line doing a great job tonight of controlling that line of scrimmage.
Second down.
Oh, let's check out the WTVB scoreboard. Major League Baseball, the regular season-ending series out at Miami between the Detroit Tigers and the Miami Marlins. I'll revisit that thought after the second and sixth play. They gave Garrett four on the play. Out of the Wildcat, Cooper Murphy. Actually, that's Brian Garrett. Spin move. Now he gets up to the 35. That'll bring up third and five. Anyway, Johnny Peralta returning to the Tigers lineup after serving his 50-game suspension. He hits an RBI double. First, I think this is like his first or second at bat. Last score we had, the Marlins leading the Tigers 3-1. I'll try and get an update on that shortly.
A little bit of controversy with Johnny Peralta. Should they allow him back or should they not? And I'm of the belief that he's a pretty good guy. He made a mistake and he's paid his dues. And the Tigers could definitely use him going into the postseason.
Third and five for the Cardinals back here. Direct snap. Bryant Garrett trying to hit the left side of the line. The Trojans had that sniffed out pretty well. Doesn't get anything. Anyway, I do have an update. The Tigers now trail the Marlins 3-2. That's in the sixth inning.
No gain on the play.
We're under 10 minutes here at Coldwater High School. The Cardinals on top, 27-7, 9:50, and clock ticking down. Coldwater on top of the Sturgis Trojans.
And every indication is that the Cardinals are going to go for it. Yep, they break the huddle, 4th and 5. And a late flag just as the Cardinals are getting up to the ball.
Too many men on the field. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yep.
Well, we do see. Okay, Luke Becky's getting instruction from head coach Jeff Scorefar. We'll make it 4th and 10. May have had too few men on the field when they threw the flag.
Something to do with the substitution. So
right.
Didn't exactly see what went on there. But here we go again, 4th and 10 for Coldwater.
Snap goes to Cooper Murphy. He throws the ball over through Zach DeMeester, and that was almost intercepted by Sturgis's Max Mayer at around the 20-yard line.
Coldwater going for a little trickery there, but didn't fool anybody on the Sturgis side of the ball. The Trojans are going to get the ball back at their own 40-yard line.
Ryan
it's going to be 1st and 10 with 9:14 to go in the football game.
To the press box.
Coldwater on top, 27-7.
Time's starting to become a little bit of a factor here if you're the Trojan Brain Trust, Jimmy Lamb and company.
Well, absolutely. The Cardinal defense has done a great job tonight.
It'd be interesting to see those end-of-the-game stats from Brady Duke, who made a mad dash back up here following the homecoming halftime ceremony, by the way.
Defense has put a tremendous amount of pressure on Chan Stewart here.
J.D. Bowdish back up to the 40, plunges forward to near the 45-yard line.
Well, I don't know how he came out of that scrum. It looked like the Cardinals had him stopped at around the 40, the line of scrimmage. He snuck out of there.
Well, the Trojans recognize this and go no huddle, 2nd and 5. Stewart again to Bowdish, back to Chance Stewart. Here comes trouble. Breaks out of that, gets the pass off, and it was Jack Kaywood near the right sideline, double covered, incomplete. 3rd and 5 coming up.
On the coverage is Brandon Houghton Hadley
out of the secondary, in on coverage of Jack Kaywood.
Great coverage by those two, actually. Did a really good job of containing the Sturgis receiver, which was Jack Kaywood.
3rd and 5 with 8:45 left in the fourth quarter. Stewart out of the shotgun. Receives the snap. The handoff goes to J.D. Bowdish. Broke free from that tackle. He'll get the first down. He'll get into Cardinal territory. Forced down at the 47. Bannon Hout and Stempion in on coverage. It was Stempion that eventually brought J.D. Bowdish down.
Sturgis going no huddle again.
Clock moving once again. 8:34 left in the fourth quarter. The Trojans trail by 20. Stewart, 5-step drop back. He's got all sorts of time. Here comes pressure from Randy Brown. Here comes pressure from Sean Ranke. Gets the ball away. And is it a catch at the 35?
Nope.
Incomplete.
Third pass incomplete.
And the intended receiver is still down on the turf.
Looks like Liam Adams down there. If I caught his number right before he rolled over.
That would be number 88 in your Sturgis roster.
Sophomore son of athletic director Mark Adams at Sturgis. Looked like he might have landed right on that football in his gut, to be honest with you, Sean. He just had the wind knocked out of him. I hope that's all it is.
Phil Herman's counterpart on the Sturgis sideline, Jim Leoy, taking a look at the young Liam Adams right now. The clock has stopped with 8:22 left in the fourth quarter. Currently, Sturgis trails Coldwater 27-7. The last 3 years of this rivalry really have been all Sturgis, and that coincides quite nicely with Chance Stewart's time at Sturgis High School. Last year, it was a 42-22 win at Sturgis on the final game of the season. 2 years ago at Coldwater's homecoming, the Trojans shut out the Cardinals just by a 14-0 score. And in Chance's freshman year back in 2010, 41-14, the Trojans came out on top. And the last time the Cardinals beat the Trojans, Chance Stewart was an eighth grader at Sturgis Middle School, 30-9 the final score. But what is your favorite Sturgis Coldwater football memory?
You know, Sean, you'd emailed me that you were going to ask me about that today, and a lot of times I can't remember what I had for breakfast in the morning, but I honestly, it's the whole rivalry thing that I'll remember about this, and not that it's all going to go away or anything like that, but the competition between the two teams, and you know, you talked about some of the guys being on Twitter this week. That's been going on ever since Twitter was invented.
Right.
And I've heard about it over there, but just the great rivalry, you know, Weekabits in the store back and forth, you know, obviously the Stewart family, very strong Sturgis supporters, and me being a Coldwater supporter and everything, we've had a lot of fun with that, but it's all been good fun, and it's been great competition for these kids as well throughout the course of the years.
Trips on the right side, second and 10 coming out of the official timeout. Stewart's flushed out of the box and breaks that tackle. And a catch and a drop at the 40-yard line. The intended receiver, I think that was that Kaywood again or Corey Baldwin?
It was Kaywood, and great defense by the Cardinals' Austin Siegel breaking up the pass. Stewart hit Kaywood on the money, but Siegel there to untangle his arms from the football and results in a Sturgis drop pass.
My favorite Sturgis Coldwater memory, there was a lot of extracurricular stuff associated with it. I called it the blackout game of 2007, and I'll talk more about it as we go along here. 8:14 left in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 10 coming up for the Trojans. Fake the handoff to Kaywood. It's a keeper by Chance Stewart to the 45. String him out to the 40. Stays in bounds. The clock continues to roll. Fourth down coming up for the Trojans.
Now at the 8-minute mark with the fourth quarter, with the Cardinals up 27-7. They're going to go back to that blackout game.
Well, it was Sturgis' homecoming in 2007. The game was going to get started at 7 o'clock like it normally would. There was a small issue of one of the power transformers that fed the lights, the field lights at Sturgis High School, going out at about 6 o'clock. 4th and 4 back here. Chance Stewart, 3-step drop back. Flush out of the pocket. And incomplete at the 28-yard line. A diving grab attempt by Jack Shesky failed.
Well, Stewart's hitting them right on the numbers, but Sturgis not able to corral any of those passes.
Now, basically, also that night they planned on shooting off fireworks at halftime, and also at the end of the game they wound up having to shoot the fireworks during pregame festivities as they did not get the game started until 8:30. It took about 2 hours for the Sturgis BPU to undergo all the repair work for that particular transformer, and it was directly underneath us near the seating on the Sturgis side. It stunk.
Didn't we...
We wound up winning that game 14-7.
Didn't we have something painted on our field one year, too?
Luke Beckhusen with a keeper to the 45, to the 50, into Trojan territory, tripped up down to the 40.
Cardinal offense continues to roll.
A few years before that, you're right, someone had painted an orange S and something else on the Cardinal field turf. 1st and 10, Coldwater from the Sturgis 39-yard line, 7:15 left. The Cardinals with a 27-7 lead. Checking out the WTVB scoreboard once again. In the end of the third quarter, Portage Central leading Portage Northern 28-7. Hold that thought as 1st and 10 is going to be run. It's going to be Cooper Murphy spin move down to the 35. A very slim seam for Cooper Murphy to run through on the left side. What do you got here?
Got an update from Union City, and it's not looking good for the Chargers' homecoming tonight. Springport on top, 47-14, with 1:28 to go in the third period. Springport rolling along in the Big 8 this year.
Now, were you aware that the old Big 8 Cascades Conference crossover series is being revived this year?
No. I knew they were playing against each other again this year, but I didn't know that was a thing that was going to be ongoing.
Go, go, go! Here's Luke Beckhuis. Forced out of bounds at the Trojan 25-yard line. Good enough for another Coldwater first down and a chance to add on to that 27-7 lead.
Luke Beckhuis is going to have some nice rushing totals by the end of the night as well.
Sure, Sean. Well, getting back to the Big A Cascades crossover series, they decided 2 years ago that the series was going to be revived this season. They had abandoned it in 2004. And the second through eighth place games will be played on the Thursday night of week nine and the first place game on that Friday night. Mm-hmm. First and 10 Coldwater from the Sturgis 25-yard line. Beckhuis under center. And the flag is thrown. Blood. Someone did flinch.
Yep, just a little bit on the right side of the line here.
And that was actually Colin Wark now in at quarterback.
Coldwater.
Illegal procedure, first and 15 coming up.
5 yard penalty, still first down.
The other wrinkle in the revival of the Big A Cascades crossover, for the first time, there will be junior varsity action involving the crossovers as well, and those games will be played on Wednesday night of week nine.
Well, that's good. Nice to get the other kids involved, too.
First and 15, the ball put back down at the 30. Colin Wark, hands off, Brian Garrett, huge hole, right side to the 20, down to the 10. First and goal, Coldwater.
Garrett, the ball are knocking on the door again.
Haywood.
Tell you what, Luke Beckhuis is getting a well-earned breather after his tremendous runs that he had here in the second half.
He's played well tonight.
Colin Wark in at quarterback. He'll be under center.
Be nice to see Colin direct the team to a touchdown here.
It's a keeper by Wark to the 5. That's it. Second and goal from the 5.
That's a play that has worked very effectively for the Cardinals here tonight.
It's worked for Luke Beckhuis, and it's now working for Colin Wark.
Yeah. Even. Quarterback takes the pitch and makes a little spin move to the side that he's going to run to. And instead of handing it off or pitching it out, he just keeps the ball and curls right around the end. And been picking up 5-8 yards of carry on that play. Consistently.
27-7 Cardinals, and it's looking like they're going to add at least 6 more. Wark again under center, second and goal from the Sturgis 5. Wark hits a keeper once again. End zone, touchdown, Coldwater!
The Cardinals tack on another one at the 4:51 mark of the fourth quarter. They now lead the Sturgis Trojans 33-7. And the extra point attempt will be tried here momentarily.
And it's looking very more and more likely that the old and new Sturgis footballs will stand in the Coldwater Trophy case side to side.
That's A-okay. We got to look at that shiny silver football that's up here in the press box.
I posted a picture to it on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Here comes the extra point kick from Blaze Watson. He boomed it. It's good. 34-7 Cardinals with 4:51 left. Back in 30 seconds, you're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
You're a super fan who will tailgate anywhere. The pros? Check. College? Check. Your 8-year-old's peewee game? Big time. And to prepare for this ritual, you head to Meijer for freshly prepared food and licensed team apparel. Proudly display allegiance to your favorite team with our licensed short and long sleeve tees, hoodies, hats, and jerseys. Plus, load up on fresh meats, snacks, and drinks. So don't just tailgate. Tail greater at Meijer.
AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
34-7, the Coldwater Cardinals about to get their first win over the Sturgis Trojans since 2009. And it will wind up being the final victory by the Coldwater Cardinals over the Sturgis Trojans, at least in the short-term future in this long-standing football rivalry.
I just took a look at the crowd, Sean, and it doesn't look like anybody's left from the Coldwater side. Just a few straggling fans leaving over on the Sturgis side of the field.
This is a tremendous, tremendous thing to see if you're Coldwater Athletic Director Diane Vandenhout. An overflow crowd. And look at that. Blaze Watson with all sorts of adrenaline. He booms it into the end zone. It's caught. It's going to be a touchback.
Blaise Watson doing a nice job for Coldwater tonight on his kickoffs and has converted on all but one of his extra points that he's attempted tonight.
Got a final score on the WTVB scoreboard. The Lakeview Spartans, they are still unscored upon. They shut out Gold Lake 35-0.
Well, got to give the Spartans a lot of credit. My gosh, holding five teams scoreless over the course of this season. And quite an accomplishment to do it once, but let alone do it twice, three, four, and now five times for Lakeview. So congratulations to the Spartans.
First and 10 Sturgis from their 20-yard line. Chance Stewart, the handoff goes to J.D. Bowdish. He's running right side of the line. And he's going to be awful close to the first down. He may, in fact, have the first down.
Got a little shove forward on the tackle by Coldwater. It is a first down for Sturgis.
First down for Sturgis.
Cardinals just want to make Sturgis earn it. If they do score, you don't want to give them the big plays.
J.D. Bowdish again.
Tackled by Sean Linke.
Up to about the 37-yard line.
Second down.
Well, it's keeping the clock moving. Down to 4:20 now here in the fourth quarter. Coldwater on top of Sturgis, 34-7.
Second and three. Whistle.
Flag on the play.
And a flag on the play just as Chance Stewart received the snap from center. And we're going backwards.
Oh, no, going against Coldwater.
Huh. Encroachment on the Coldwater side.
Against Coldwater offside.
Wishful thinking on my part, I think.
The first down. Flag at the 43-yard line.
Ball is on the 43 of Sturgis. It's first and 10 for the Trojans. We're nearing the four-minute mark now to go in this football game.
Two receivers to the left side. Chance Stewart out of the shotgun with J.D. Bowdish next to him. Bowdish receives the handoff. Running the sweep left side to the 40, to the 50, into Coldwater territory at the 46-yard line. It should be enough for another Sturgis first down. They will actually put the ball down at the 45.
Bowdish did not get out of bounds. So
well, they put the ball down at the 46, but it's still good enough for...
Clock will start.
A Sturgis first down. Bowdish again stood up, and he's only going to get up to the 44 this time.
Gain of about two for J.D. Bowdish.
Tackled by Vandenhout and Rinke.
Vandenhout and Rinke in on the tackle. Second and eight coming up. The Trojans going no huddle. The two wide receivers are to the right side. Fake the handoff to Bowdish. Stewart keeps it to the 40. Stringing him out and forcing him out of bounds. Past the 40 to the 39.
Knocked out of bounds by Morgan Sims.
Chance does a really nice job with the stiff arm, you know, fending off the Coldwater defenders. Done a good job of that tonight. But the Coldwater defenders have also made a run for his life back there.
Third and three coming up for the Sturgis Trojans in another 3 minutes and 10 seconds. It's looking like it's going to be a W for the Coldwater Cardinals. Stewart, three-step drop back. He's got time. Looking left side, and he has an open receiver. It went through Shesky's hands, though, at the 5-yard line.
Well, Shesky stopped, and he should have kept going. When he stopped, he ended up under running the ball, and if he would have stayed in stride, he probably would have ran right into a touchdown.
How about this name in on coverage? Zach Chachowski. It's the first time we've called his name. Both Jeff Scorfar and Jimmy Lamb going to their benches a little bit here near the tail end of the game. 34-7, the Cardinals on top, 3:04 left. Trojans are going to go for it here on fourth down. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Stewart with a three-step drop back. Here comes trouble from Gavin Yates. Flushed out of the pocket by Yates. Now he'll throw the ball. And it's caught at the 32-yard line by Sturgis' Oakley Stevens. And believe it or not, it's enough for a first down.
Yeah. Oakley kind of knew when he went down. Yeah. And, oh, I'm done. I hope I'm far enough over the first, past the first down marker.
First down,
and he was.
Surprised the heck out of me when I realized, hey, that's a first down. J.D. Bowdish receives a handoff up the right side of the line, down near the 25. Playing for a little bit of pride here because next week doesn't get any easier for the Trojans. They host Harper Creek.
Well, it'll be a good test again for Sturgis. No question about that. We saw what Harper Creek did to Coldwater.
Running the sweep left side on the keeper. It's Chance Stewart to the 25, to the 20. Forced out of bounds at the 20. That will stop the clock with 2:20 left. And there is a flag on the field at about the 30.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and that was a hold against Sturgis.
Flag on the play.
Thus, the huge hole for Stewart to run through, huh?
Yeah, Sturgis defender, or offensive blocker. Right a hold of the Coldwater defender who was trying to get to Stewart. Ten-yard mark off goes against Sturgis.
We haven't seen the official call yet. Safe to say that it was a hold against them, so we'll play replay second down.
Yeah, we didn't get any signal as to what the penalty was. Second and 17, the ball is on the 40 for Sturgis.
I think the referees want to get out of here before the homecoming dance begins. Second and 17, short screen pass, and did Liam Adams catch it? No, he didn't. He fell down, and the ball fell right in front of him at about the 35.
Flag down, though.
Gavin Yates on the coverage.
Now what?
Another penalty.
Well, the Trojans are going backwards again.
It's a procedure call
that's declined by the Cardinals because the incomplete pass will bring up third and 17.
Third down.
2:15 left, 34-7 Cardinals. Oh, I was talking about the blackout game of 2007. Once they repaired the electrical system for the lights, things were going along just fine until midway through the third quarter when the field lights in the southwest corner only went out. I'll complete that thought after the third and 17 play. Stewart going back to pass. Looking for a receiver deep on the right side, and it went through his hands. Great coverage on the play by Luke Stempien.
Sturgis receivers are looking a little bit like some Michigan State receivers that I've looked at this year.
Francisco Hernandez on the coverage.
Passes are there. They're on the money, but just not able to corral them.
Fourth and 17, Trojans from the Coldwater 40-yard line, 2:09 left. Anyway, Coldwater got the interception and the game-winning score driving toward that darkened corner of the Sturgis High School athletic field. And they wound up winning that game 14-7 back in 2007.
Timeout.
Sturgis takes a timeout.
Oh, we'll take time as well. 2:09 left, 34-7 Cardinals. You're listening to Coldwater Cardinal Football on WTVB.
You're a super fan who will tailgate anywhere. The pros? Check. College? Check. Your 8-year-old's peewee game? Big time. And to prepare for this ritual, you head to Meijer for freshly prepared food and licensed team apparel. Proudly display allegiance to your favorite team with our licensed short and long sleeve tees, hoodies, hats, and jerseys. Plus, load up on fresh meats, snacks, and drinks. So don't just tailgate. Tail greater at Meijer.
AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
Well, on our Facebook and Twitter pages, which you can get to through WTVBAM.com, I posted a picture in the press box. John Petzko, who was homecoming Grand Marshal a few years ago, looking over the old and new silver footballs.
Well, that's pretty neat, Sean. Mr. Petzko looking at the trophy intently.
Man, that old silver football looks like it's been dented and abused. Like, it looks like a silver raisin is what it looks like right now. Fourth and 17 coming out of Sturgis' first timeout. Chance Stewart, back to pass, line drive pass, and it is caught at the 19-yard line. Good enough for another Sturgis first down. That's Jack Shesky in on the catch.
Third pass complete.
Boy, Chance Stewart really does miss J.D. Bowdish's older brother, doesn't he?
Sure does. That clock didn't move, did it, Sean?
No, it didn't.
There we go.
2 minutes left. The Trojans driving. They're going to wind up with the L tonight.
Oh, beautiful catch by Sturgis.
In the end zone and a touchdown of 20 yards. Not quite sure who had the catch. That was Chesky once again.
Yeah.
His second touchdown catch of the night. Maybe too little too late for the Sturgis Trojans. They currently trail 34-13.
So the Trojans tack on six of their own at the 152 mark of the fourth quarter. Cardinals now lead 34-13.
Jack Kaywood getting ready to kick the point after. Wobbly, but effective.
The point attempt is good.
It's good. 34-14. Cardinals with the lead with a minute 52 left. We'll take this one final break. You're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
Withers keeping you warm during the winter, helping you get dinner on the table, or making sure your shower is warm in the morning. For over 20 years, Nottawa Gas has made your comfort their top priority. As your propane specialist, Nottawa Gas offers convenient payment options. Pre-buy your fuel now to lock in your price for the coming season, or sign up for their Keep Full program so you never have to worry about running out of gas. For more information on the program that's right for you, call Nottawa Gas in Tekonsha, 517-767-3502, or visit them on the web at nottawagas.com.
AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
Checking out the WTVB scoreboard in the fourth quarter, 3:56 left to play out at St. Joe. The Bears lead the Niles Vikings 55-20.
Well, nice homecoming night for the Bears.
And Charlotte, future foe in the Interstate 8 for Coldwater, now leads Mason 37-16 with 2:03 left in that game.
Wow, Charlotte piling it out at the end of the game.
They trailed for a good chunk of the first half up there. Here at Coldwater, it is 34-14. The Trojans putting on seven more thanks to a Chance Stewart to Jack Chesky pass of 20 yards. The Trojans going for the onside kick, and it is recovered quite nicely by the Coldwater Cardinals.
Cooper Murphy with the recovery for Coldwater.
We know what hasn't Cooper done tonight.
He's done a lot, that's for sure.
Those stats from statistician Brady Duke are going to look mighty interesting and fun to read off at the end of the night.
Absolutely. .151 to go.
The Cardinals are going to get the W here.
They're going to get to keep the silver football, too. Actually, they're going to get the new silver football, right?
Yes, they are. Colin Wark, the handoff. That is up to the 50, down to the 49-yard line. Sawyer Murphy.
Sawyer Murphy, the ball carrier.
I knew it was a Murphy, but I wasn't thinking Sawyer was going to get some reps in as a running back here.
Sawyer the junior, and big brother Cooper is the senior. Sawyer comes in at 5'11", and 213, and big brother Cooper comes in at 5'7", 200.
Chris Vandenhout staying out there. Luke Stempion, a receiver to the left side. And we got to... Looks like, is that Cooper lining up as a receiver on the right side?
Yeah, it is. No, that's number 30.
Number 30. Oh, Colin Work gets it to the 40-yard line and enough for the first down. That is Morgan Sims getting a little bit of prep as a wide receiver here. 1 minute left.
Francisco Hernandez checking in now.
Well, that's what the Cardinal Crazies were calling for. We want Cisco. We want Cisco. 34-14, Cardinals, under 1 minute left. Jeff Scorfar said in the pregame interview, let's hope the game goes out on a positive bang, and it's going to.
Absolutely. Down to 40 seconds now.
Seven on the play clock. Colin Wark under center. And he will take a knee. He may not have to do that again.
About do it. Official should probably hold off here. Still at 7:25. Now they can go. Cardinals will not have to run another play. The Cardinals are going to defeat the Sturgis Trojans by the score of 34-14.
There's just a 4-second differential between the play and the game clocks. The Cardinals and Trojans wrap up the rivalry with a W for the good guys, to quote Hawk Harrelson. 0-0 is on the scoreboard. Game over. Cardinals take the grand finale of the rivalry series between the Cards and the Sturgis Trojans by a final score of 34-14.
The silver football will reside in the Coldwater trophy cases here at Coldwater High School until these two teams meet again somewhere down the road.
Whenever that winds up being.
Very good, classy game played. Saw some help from both teams on the opposing players getting up. Didn't see any jawjacking or shoving or anything like that around out there. So congratulations to both teams on a well-played football game. Again, the Cardinals come out on top by the score of 34-14 over the Sturgis Trojans.
Down at midfield, Diane Vandenhout, the Coldwater High School Athletic Director, holding on to the silver football. Let's tune in to PA announcer, I think it's Dave Wischmeyer, that's going to be making the announcement here.
Actually, I think it's going to be
special announcement going on the field.
Oh, there we go.
Both teams are lining up at their respective 40-yard lines. There will be handshakes between the captains for the Cardinals and the Trojans and the awarding of the silver football.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we would like to acknowledge one of the oldest continuous rivalries in high school football between the Coldwater Cardinals and the Sturgis Trojans. This year marks the 98th meeting of the two teams, as the first game recorded was in 1915. A silver football was once exchanged between the two teams, and more recently a plaque was presented year after year to the winner of the long-standing rivalry. This year, athletic directors Diane Vandenhout and Mark Adams were able to purchase a renewed copy of the traditional Junior C of C silver football. With the winning team name engraved on what may be the final meeting of these two football teams, we applaud the athleticism and the competition displayed between these two teams and the communities. Congratulations to both teams for a great rivalry.
Right after the silver football trophy was exchanged, out come the student sections to sing loyally along with their friends on the football team.
Alumni, all of the students, all of the fans for coming to the
terrific, terrific capper to the long-standing rivalry.
Special thanks to the two teams who played.
Huge win for Coldwater, Sean. Now, last week, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we had talked with Matt Bowling from Harper Creek, their boys basketball coach, about our kids need to turn the corner and to learn how to win a football game. And they definitely did that here tonight. They showed they were the better team out there tonight and just absolutely controlled the line of scrimmage. The offensive line did a tremendous job. The defense did a great job of putting a lot of pressure on Sturgis and Chance Stewart. And the Cardinals come away with a 34-14 win, and they're headed over to the victory bell right now.
Well, let's tune in to the ringing of the victory bell. This will be an especially sweet sound over the nighttime air here at Coldwater High School. Final score from here at Coldwater High School, the Cardinals 34, the Sturgis Trojans 14. Back with a post-game wrap after this. You're listening to Cardinal Football on WTVB.
Hello, this is Jeff Wilcox from Drew's Place of Coldwater. In our family's 25 years in the care business, we see how difficult it is for seniors to leave their home. We see the unique challenges families face, especially with memory-related issues. This is why we have taken great pride in designing homes that cater to these issues related to memory loss. We have made it our goal to provide that specialized care at the most affordable rates in Michigan. Call us today for information or a tour of our facilities at Drew's Place of Coldwater. Call 278-9494.
Many choices, one path, not just a starting point, a launch pad, more than a step, a leap, not just a community college, it's a global sense of direction. Blaze your own trail. Explore Kellogg Community College at kellogg.edu.
Can we get something straight? Missouri.
If it's about camping or RVing, livestock or utility trailers,
I tail it to Haylett.
Haylett Auto and RV, the place to I try and buy.
Start online at HaylettAutoAndRV.com.
Shop and compare over 300 units in Haylett's giant new and pampered pre-owned inventory.
If it's worth seeing, it's there.
Located online, then hightail it to Haylett and see it, try it, and buy it. Haylett has it all. Tent campers to travel trailers, fifth wheels to motorhomes, hoy box carriers to two-horse bumper pulls, LQ horse stock and utility trailers. Haylett has wheels for whatever you're hauling. Hitches? Haylett has parts and accessories. Haylett has a warehouse full. Buy from folks who use what they sell so they know what works. Need service? If Haylett's can't fix it, it ain't fixable. Rentals? You bet. A great way to get your feet wet and see if the camping life's for you. Online and on the ground. Hightail it to Haylett Auto and RV's 11-acre super lot just east of I-69, exit 13 on US 12, Coldwater, Michigan. Haylett Auto and RV clobbers big city prices.
Different people like to work out at different times, which is why it works out to belong to Anytime Fitness in Coldwater. The secure facility is open anytime, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with top-of-the-line cardio and hammer strength training equipment, as well as classes and personal training options. Plus, your membership is good at 2,000 Anytime Fitness clubs worldwide. Now is the time to get back in shape with back-to-school specials all month long at Anytime Fitness off US 12 and South Willowbrook Road in Coldwater.
Many choices, one path, not just a starting point, a launch pad, more than a step, a leap, not just a community college, it's a global sense of direction. Blaze your own trail. Explore Kellogg Community College at kellogg.edu.
AM 1590, FM 95.5, WTVB.
Welcome back to a very happy Coldwater High School Cardinal Field. It's a very happy trip for the student body of Coldwater High School up to the cafeteria for the homecoming dance. That's because the Coldwater Cardinals wrapped up the rivalry with the Sturgis Trojans with a 34-14 win.
Well, I think if you're a Coldwater fan, period, Sean, not just a student, but a fan of Coldwater athletics, got to be real happy tonight with the way the Cardinals performed and very proud of the way our kids went about their business and were able to hang on or get the silver football back from Sturgis. And the presentation was made at midfield after the game, and Coldwater wins over Sturgis tonight 34-14 in a very well played football game by the Cardinals. So nice to see. Cardinals now move to 2-3 on the year. Sturgis moves to 3-2.
And the Cardinals improved to 2-1 in the SMAC East. The Trojans dropped to 2-1 in the East Division.
Well, that's good for the Cardinals, and you never know what will happen the rest of the way out.
We've got a few very winnable games coming up, like next week up at Loy Norks.
We have been very competitive in the football games that we played this year, so the ones that we've lost. And we beat Battle Creek Central and took care of Sturgis here tonight. So.
And Ken Delaney actually reminded us this is our revenge against what the Trojan soccer team did against the Cardinals a few weeks ago.
Yep. Mr. Delaney's soccer team lost to Sturgis 2-1, so this is a little payback for that. But what a fitting way to do it on a night when a rivalry ends of sorts, at least in football anyway. And the Cardinals get to keep the silver football or get the silver football back, and it's going to stay in the Coldwater High School trophy case for a while now.
Checking out the WTVB scoreboard, Lumen Christi finishes out Jackson Northwest 41-7. In the Big 8, Homer shut out Reading 41-0. Just imagine what that Homer-Jonesville contest is going to be coming up later on in the season.
Oh, that'll be a dandy, that's for sure.
St. Joe finishes off Niles 55-26. Bellevue in the SCAA beat North Adams Jerome 46-7. Dowagiac over Coloma 50-16. Cassopolis beating Buchanan 35-14. And it's a final at McCamley Field. Portage Central all over Portage Northern 49-7.
Got a feeling Portage Central is the real deal this year, Sean.
Oh, let me double check. I believe they, I, in fact, not believe, I know that they were ranked in the top 10 in their division, Division 2. I'll remember where I put that in my notes.
They were
11th. They were under others receiving notes, but I'm sure that's going to go up after tonight's blowout victory by the Mustangs over their crosstown rivals, the Huskies. 49-7, the final score there. A game broadcast by our sister station, 1660 The Fan. Thanks to Carolyn Binder and Jim McKinney for providing those scoring updates to us. And thanks to everybody that we've been following and everybody that's been sending us scoring updates all throughout. I think I heard the victory bell ringing once again.
I didn't pick up on that, but got the football team, Coldwater High School football team, out at midfield with the silver football, and it's trophy time, or picture-taking time for the team.
Well, let's go ahead and bring you the scoring summary. The Cardinals had the ball first. They scored first, capping off a 12-play, 74-yard drive that took 6:22. The scoring play was a 2-yard run by Cooper Murphy, the PAT kick by Blaze Watson, making it 7-0. That was your score after one quarter of play. In the second quarter, the Cardinals capped off a 9-play, 66-yard drive, taking 4:22. At the 3:37 mark of the second quarter, Cooper Murphy with a 1-yard run. Blaze Watson's PAT kick was pushed a little to the left, so it was 13-0 after that. Sturgis got the ball, drove it 80 yards down the field, 6 plays, a minute 13. The scoring play came on a 66-yard pass play from Chance Stewart to Jack Shesky, coming at 2:24 of the second quarter. The PAT kick by Jack Haywood was good, 13-7 Cardinals. Then with about 15.4 seconds left in the first half, the Cardinals capped off a 7-play, 62-yard drive that took 2:09. Luke Beckhusen with a 20-yard pass to Luke Stempion. Cooper Murphy's attempt at the conversion run was no good, 19-7 Cardinals. That was your score after one half of play. The Cardinals scored with 4:37 left in the third quarter, capping off a 5-play, 23-yard drive, taking 2:48. Chris Vandenhout with a 7-yard touchdown run. And Cooper Murphy ran in the 2-point conversion to make it 27-7. That was your score after three. Final score for the Cardinals came with 4:51 left in the fourth quarter. Colin Work with a 5-yard quarterback keeper. PAT kick by Blaze Watson was good. 34-7 Cardinals, capping off a 6-play, 60-yard drive that took 2:36. Then the final score of the game came with a minute 52 left. Chance Stewart to Jack Shesky, 20-yard pass play. Shesky's second touchdown of the game. The PAT kick by Jack Haywood was good. A 12-play, 80-yard drive, taking 2:59, 34-14. And there's your final score. 16 first downs for Sturgis, 23 for Coldwater. 24 rushes for 115 yards for the Trojans. 60 runs, 354 yards for the Cardinals. Passing yardage, 177 for Sturgis, 88 for Coldwater. So looking at total offense, the Cardinals outgained the Trojans 442 yards to 292.
Well, again, a great job by the Cardinal offense and the Cardinal defense as well tonight, Sean. Coldwater able to run the football very frequently and very effectively against Sturgis tonight, and racking up the 300-plus yards of rushing offense, and then the 88 extra yards through the air. And then the defense put a whole lot of pressure on Chance Stewart all night long, and had some great play in the defensive backfield, several passes that were in the hands or in the clutches of a Sturgis receiver that our guys just absolutely broke apart or broke up and pulled their arms apart so that they couldn't complete the catch. And then the pressure that they put on Chance, making him run all over the field and everything tonight. So didn't really get to him too many times. I can remember one sack, I believe, that we had of him, but great job on both sides of the football by Coldwater football players tonight. And this team played very, very well tonight. And I'd like to think that they turned the corner, too, tonight, like we talked about Luke Beckhues and turning the corner last week against Harper Creek. And, his improved play showed here again tonight. And, didn't pass the ball that frequently tonight as much as he did at Harper Creek, but he ran the ball very effectively tonight. So, good all-around team effort by the Cardinals tonight, and very deserving of the 34-14 victory over Sturgis.
Time of possession heavily in favor of Coldwater, 31-41 for the Cards, 15-32 for the Trojans on third down conversions. The Cards 7-10, the Trojans 5-13 on fourth down conversions. The Cardinals 0-2 and the Trojans 2-3. And now going over those individual numbers. First for Coldwater, Cooper Murphy led the ground game, 24 carries, 119 yards, and two touchdowns. Luke Beckhusen, second leading rusher, 10 carries, 75 yards. Chris Vandenhout, 7 carries, 10 yards, and a score. And Bryant Garrett, 13 carries for 59 yards. Passing, Luke Beckhusen, a quiet but effective 5 of 6 passing for 88 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Favorite receiver, Luke Stempien. He had 3 catches for 51 yards and a score. Murphy had a 27-yard catch. That's Cooper Murphy. And Ryan Hadley, a 10-yard catch. For the Sturgis Trojans, Chance Stewart, 8 of 28 passing for 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Favorite receiver tonight in the absence of Calvin Bowdish, Jack Shesky, 4 catches for 135 yards and both Sturgis scores. J.D. Bowdish was the leading rusher, 14 carries for 65 yards. Chance Stewart had 6 carries for 35 yards. Matt Phillips, who was Sturgis' leading rusher coming into the game, just 4 carries for 15 yards. Taking a look at the defense, the Cardinals were led by Sean Rinke, 8 solo tackles and an assist. Randy Brown had 4, Chris Vandenhout 3. Ryan Hanley, Mike Covey, Zach DeMeester, Levi Wilson, Luke Stempien, each with a couple of tackles. Matt Phelps with 14 tackles for the Trojans, Tyler Kane with 12.
Well, whale of a football game if you're a Coldwater Cardinal fan. Sure, a little discouragement on the behalf of the Sturgis football fans. But, again, Sean, Coldwater controlled the line of scrimmage right out of the gate. They got the ball first, and they were able to drive down the field and convert a touchdown on their first drive. And able to control that line of scrimmage and keep a lot of pressure on Chance Stewart, and played great defense. The defensive backfield played exceptionally well, so just a good all-around game by Coldwater tonight.
If we can get a final update from the Quincy-Athens game, it would be greatly appreciated. We did find out that it was a happy homecoming for the Tecumseh Indians tonight as they shut out Litchfield 57-0.
Well, the Tecumseh Indians deserve that. They've taken a couple of beatings this year. Most recently that I can remember, St. Philip tacked up some big numbers on them, but nice to see Coach Joe Wright and the Indians tack one on the Litchfield Terriers, and great way to cap off their homecoming week up there at Tecumseh.
It was also a happy homecoming for the Quincy Orioles as they shut out Athens. Final score was 46-0.
Well, Quincy improves to 3-2 now on the season. Coach Rob Evans has that program moving in the right direction, and we wish them the best of luck the rest of the way this year.
And we also want to congratulate, I do have the names of Quincy's homecoming king and queen, Jimmy Strock, who wound up being the starting quarterback tonight for the Orioles. He was crowned homecoming king. And for the homecoming queen, Bobby Luckadoo.
Ah.
Just another one of the Luckadoo family.
Well, congratulations to Jimmy Strock and Bobby Luckadoo.
Take this one last break from McDonald's, Branch and Hillsdale counties. It's going to be tough, but we'll have to figure out a McDonald's player of the game.
What's up, guys?
Hey, we brought you McDonald's new Mighty Wing.
Wing? Like, singular? Yeah, look how big it is, though.
Huge.
Well, it looks delicious, but you expect me to believe that McDonald's only has a one-piece? The box clearly says a five-piece.
What had happened was...
Introducing McDonald's all-new Mighty Wings. Plural. Bold, spicy, delicious bone-in chicken available in a 3, 5, or 10-piece. There's something for everyone to love at McDonald's. For a limited time only at participating McDonald's.
Have you ever wondered why a Coke from McDonald's just seems to taste so good? Maybe it's because it's just a dollar. Or maybe it's because it takes you back to... and makes you think of. And when you pair it with your favorite McDonald's meal, you just feel like saying, ah. Coke and McDonald's go perfectly with any moment. And any size Coca-Cola, soft drink, or sweet tea is a dollar at McDonald's. So there's even more happiness to love. A la carte only. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
AM 1590. FM 95.5. WTVB.
Well, they're McDonald's player of the game. We talked about all of the rushing yards that the Cardinals had, the 354 total. And leader of the pack tonight was Cooper Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. Cooper Murphy, I believe, 24 rushes for 119 yards. Is that correct? Well, somewhere around that.
119 yards on 24 carries and two of Coldwater scores.
Also had a pass reception for 27 yards, but... picked up some really tough yardage for the Cardinals, particularly in that first half. He had some runs where second, third, fourth, fifth efforts got him some extra yardage on the Coldwater football team. And Cooper Murphy's been pretty much of a rock all season long. He's been very consistent at running the football. And, I thought he just played an outstanding game tonight for Coldwater and really helped Coldwater keep moving those chains and keep control of the offense and in control of the football game. So Cooper Murphy definitely would get my vote tonight. A shout out to Luke Beckhusen for his nice night. Luke Stempien with another nice night. Offensive and defensive lines, great effort there. And, Beckhusen had 79 yards in rushing. Vandenhout had 75, I believe.
75 for Beckhusen and 70 for Vandenhout.
And then
Garrett with 59.
So great job of rushing the football. And you got to go back to the lines. The offensive line for opening those holes for the guys on offense, and then the defensive line for putting the pressure on Chance Stewart. But, as far as the player of the game goes, back to Cooper Murphy, I think he just has done a stellar job all year long. He's been steady all year long and very deserving of our McDonald's player of the game for tonight.
Well, once again, congratulations to Cooper Murphy, our McDonald's player of the game, as the Coldwater Cardinals beat the Sturgis Trojans, final score 34-14. And so it's up to Kalamazoo next Friday for a meeting with the Loy Norix Knights, a team that the Cardinals haven't beaten in a while. And the Knights of Loy Norix and Marshall were playing against each other tonight, both teams looking for their first wins of the season.
Yep, so a trip to Loy Norix next week, but the Cardinals will be headed up there full of confidence, I would think, and on a roll after this big win tonight over the Sturgis Trojans.
Hey, by the way, have you had a chance to talk with Quinn about who's going to go out there with me?
He'll be back from vacation tomorrow, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
So we'll probably find out who my broadcast partner will be for the trip up to Loy Norix early next week.
Yep, I may even try getting old Quinn over the weekend here and see what we can get set up. But
I'll be Mike's side with one of you two.
One of us will be sitting here beside you, I can guarantee you that. So
7 o'clock kickoff from Griffith Stadium on the Loy Norix High School campus, just off of I-94 in Kalamazoo. On air time at 6:30 here on AM 1590 and FM 95.5 WTVB, and also online at WTVBAM.com. Quickly, we want to tell you about race 3 in the NASCAR Chase for the Spring Cup Championship. That's going to be coming up on Sunday. The AAA 400 from Dover International Speedway, Motor Racing Network coverage getting underway at 1 on Sunday afternoon. That's a story from here at Cardinal Field on the Coldwater High School campus. For Justin Lopshire, the hardest working man in show business, back in the WTVB studio. For our statistician, Brady Duke. For Zach Boyce up the CCS-TV camera. For Ken Delaney. For Dave Wischmeyer. For athletic director, Diane Vandenhout. Am I forgetting anybody yet? Haven't gotten to you yet. For my broadcast partner, Al Rackesy, Sean Watson, signing off from the home of the Cardinals. The Coldwater Sturgis football rivalry wraps up for the time being with a 34-14 win for the Cardinals over the Trojans. Until next week from Kalamazoo, good night, everyone.
Tonight's action brought to you by these members of the WTVB Sports Boosters Club: Benedict Steakhouse and Grill, Mobilia Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Branch County Abstract and Title, Keeley's Jewelry, Drew's Place of Coldwater, Hale at Ottawa and RV, McDonald's of Branch County, Meyer, Nottawa Gas Company of Nottawa and Tekonsha, OmniSource, Pines Behavioral Health, Rainbow Motor Sales, Short's Rip Beer Stand, Union Pallet and Container, Warner Oil Company, and Willow's Bar and Grill.
The voice of Branch County for high school sports, AM 1590 WTVB Coldwater and FM 95.5 W238 CD Coldwater.